While they're doing that. Perfect. While they're doing that, how many of you are in the UK? Hands up in the UK. Already perfect. And how many of you in Switzerland? It's everyone in Graham's room there. Okay. Perfect.
Where is he? I'm trying to find. Here he is. Okay. Steve.
Can you see my slides, people?
Yeah.
Let's do this just a little bit better. There we go. Perfect. Well, friends, I've been asked by both Graham and Franklin to talk about finances today. And this is one of my favorite topics. Sandra and I yesterday met with our auditor, not our auditor, our accountant, and a Christian lady. She's from Belarus and has a Christian ministry there. She has a children's center for orphaned kids. And I'm going to guess that she's going to have a whole bunch more. And so yesterday was our sort of final time with to meet her to find out how much money we're getting back. And friends, here's the great thing. Every single year, whatever I give to the Lord, I get back in a tax refund. And so it's just like, it's fascinating to me that what I, and I've got receipts for all these gifts in Canada. The individual who gives to a charity gets the benefit. I know that in the UK, it's different that the charity gets the benefit if you sign up for that. But in Canada, the giver is incentivized by the government to give more. And so once again, here we are, Sandra and I, we try to be very generous. We try to give about 20% of our income away. We give a tithe of our income to the church that we're a part of. So that's Catch the Fire Toronto. We try to give another tithe of our income to missions and missionaries. Some of it is pre-planned. For example, I give to Reinhard Bonnke's ministry every single month. I give to Kenneth Copeland's ministry every single month. There's a missions group that I give to every single month. And then lots of individual things, people from our church doing a missions trip. We try to do that. And then I'm going to guess that Sandra and I give another about 5% of our income as directed by the Lord. And that could be someone on the street. That could be someone in our congregation who's just lost their job. And I joke with people, this is how I live. I live on the principle, the most repeated principle in the scripture, which is sowing and reaping. So not going to talk about that today, but that is the number one repeated principle in the scriptures all the way through New Testament, Old Testament. And that's how Sandra and I live. We give as directed by the Holy Spirit. We give faithfully. We give our tithe. I'm going to talk all about this, guys and girls. And then the Lord just provides for Sandra and I, and we just have a lot of fun doing that. Last week, Sandra and I, we were supposed to come over to Europe in the end of April, end of this month. My wife turns 60 years of age on April 24. I turned 65 on May 3rd. And so we were looking, what can we do special to celebrate those milestone birthdays? And we decided that we would do a river cruise because that was the best vacation we ever had, was a river cruise from Vienna into Germany on the Danube. And so we saw one in France from Avignon to Lyon. And it was like perfect because there's a Catch the Fire church in Lyon. We can hang out with them. Long story short, we purchased this river cruise. Also, it's our 40th wedding anniversary in June. So we got all these milestones. And we purchase it. It's an expensive cruise. It's like $7,500 to do that. And plus the flights, da 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 da. And as it turns out, we get a new position, as Franklin's talked about, to be the coaches, the mentors for all the Catch the Fire partner churches, Leaders Alliance people in Europe, Middle East, Africa. And so we begin to say, okay, we can put, we can go early, do a couple of days in Germany, a couple of days in France at the end, travel over to England. We can do a little bit of work while we're over there. Then we find out after we book this that Sandra's father is in very poor health. And Sandra's mom passed away on December 26th last year. And we were away while that happened. We were away while she had a stroke. And Sandra just really felt grieved that she was not there for her mom's passing. And then when we found out that Sandra's dad's he's been diagnosed with three different life challenging issues, all three would end his life prematurely. And Sandra just said, you know what, we're not going to travel if there's any chance that we're going to miss my dad. And so we talked to our travel agent. She said, well, sadly, because you paid full, you're past the getting your money back. All you can get is 15% back. She said, however, you got 2 days. If you wanted to change the name on the cruise, you got 2 days to do that. And so Sandra and I prayed about it, and we felt the Holy Spirit say, just give it away. And so we phoned three or four friends in the UK to say, guys, we've paid for a river cruise. Can you go? And everyone's like, no, we can't do it. Anyways, we found some friends to go. And we just gave away $7,500 cruise. Yay. And that's not a big deal. I've given away, I shouldn't say I, Sandra and I, once in one day gave two gifts of $50,000 away. And I did not have $50,000. I didn't have $100,000. I had to go and remortgage my house to be able to do that. But Sandra and I both felt the Holy Spirit say, be extravagant and give away $100,000, two different gifts, $50,000. And so friends, when the Holy Spirit asked Sandra and I to be generous, this is not a problem for Sandra and I, because I have learned a long, long time ago that everything belongs to the Lord. And friends, if you believe that, if you really believe that everything belongs to the Lord, the question is, why is it so hard for you to be generous when the Lord asks you to be generous? If the Lord asks you to pay for someone's meal, why is there a little bit of a, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if that this is a really good week for me to be generous. All of those are statements to say you do not believe that everything belongs to the Lord in your life. And I still have those little squishy moments when, you know, the Holy Spirit says, okay, there's 30 people in the room, pay for everyone's meal. And it's like 30 times, and they're each order. That's $1,000. And you get those little, okay, well, if I heard from the Lord to be generous, what do I need to do? And so I am trying to live by a very important verse in the Bible. If I said, what is the world's most famous verse? Probably all of you would say John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. And so if God is a giver and an extravagant giver, and if I could say it, a premeditated giver, God had a plan and God gave by thinking what he was going to do. So God spontaneously gives, I know he does that, but the gift of his son Jesus was pre-planned. And so that's just how my wife and I live. So this is all the preamble to say, people, that if I say something that you don't agree with, don't beat me up, beat up your pastors who invited me to speak. Yep, just get some stones out and get ready to throw them across the room. Or, you know, if you're near them, just go over and kick them in the shins if you don't agree with what I'm saying. But I'm just going to give you my opinion of what the Bible teaches. And I specifically said that we're talking about kingdom finances because I want to finish by what does the New Testament say about how do we fund the kingdom? That's really my topic. So are we okay with that? That's my little preamble. Good. All righty. So first of all, friends, okay, now how do I switch slides? It doesn't want me to switch slides. That's a problem.
Wow.
Let's see. Here we are. Already got it. I figured it out. So friends, in the scriptures, we have three different kinds of giving that started in the Old Testament and then moved to the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, there were three different tithes, which we'll talk about in just a moment, that two of them were 10%, another one 10%, and another one every third year 10%. And then there was this category of offerings, and then something new happened to the nation of Israel, and that was called taxes. And all three of these, I believe, are also in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we have the word tithe. And by the way, there's someone who's not muted that's making a little bit of background noise for me. So I'm not sure who that is. The word tithe literally means 10%. And as I referred to, there's three different tithes that were in the scriptures. And the one that we know about the most, or probably refer to the most, is called the Levite tithe, where every single person in 11 out of the 12 tribes had to give 10% of whatever income they had. And most of it was rural, but not everyone was a farmer. You would have blacksmiths and you would have bakers and all sorts of different things. And so everyone gave a tithe towards the Levites. And this was one whole tribe that was dedicated to serving the people. They were helping the priests to do the spiritual function, but they also functioned, if I could say it, as the government, as the civil servants. They were helping with the keeping of the laws. They were helping with maintenance. They were helping with healthcare. The Levites looked after all the functional stuff for the nation of Israel. And when you read about the Levites, they also then tithed what came to them. And so if I take that forward, if I get income from our church, because people have been tithing, not all the income comes to me. It comes to, we have 38 full-time staff in our church. We have a building. We have, all those different kind of things. But the principle of the Old Testament is that the Levites then tithed a tithe of what came to them, and the priests, that's how the priests got paid. And so the priest was one family out of this large tribe of the Levites. And so everybody was tithing in the Old Testament. There was also the festival tithe, and that was all the parties. Seven times a year, there's feasts of the Lord, festivals, and four of them were obligatory, that if you lived in within so many miles, I can't remember how it is, how many miles from Jerusalem, you had to come to those four feasts of the year. And to make it equal for everybody, your tithe is going into a pot week by week, month by month, as you return your tithe. That's going into this separate pot. So when the festivals came, everything is free. And if you remember in John chapter 7, there's this famous passage where there's a week-long celebration. It's the party festival. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. Everything is free, including alcohol. And Jesus stood up on the last day to get a free drink, the last day to get a free buffet. And he stood up and said, "Is anyone thirsty?" Talking about the Holy Spirit. And so we have these festivals continued into the New Testament as well. And then there was the welfare tithe, which is every third year, The welfare tithe, every third year, people gave another 10%, which was for the poor, the orphans, the widows, the aliens. And this was the social services. This was how the nation looked after those people that were widowed. Difficulties come, droughts come, whatever it is, this is how they cared for each other by giving this extra tithe. So Old Testament tithe was 23%. In the New Testament, friends, it would appear from church history that the early church leaders, this is not in the scriptures, people, but church history, going to the third century, the church founders were asking the church, the congregations for a tithe, and they were asking for the Levite's priest, the Levite tithe for the pastors, the leaders of the churches. So if you want to do some history, some research, you can find out that in the early writings of the church fathers, starting in around the year 300, that this was the practice of the church. And so for people who say, is tithing New Testament? Well, here's one of the best proofs for me, is what did the early church do? they would have been the first people to really know what was being taught by the leaders, the functional pastors of the second generation of churches. So who was the pastor after James in Jerusalem? Who was the pastor after Barnabas in Antioch? What did they teach? What did they believe? Well, we don't know. But we know when we get to the 300s, the third century, that tithing 10% was the norm and was encouraged. And in fact, some of the writers are pretty harsh on their people for not doing that. And so it appears that even in the 300s, people were saying, well, I don't know if we should be tithing. But the teaching of the church was at that point that you gave a tithe. Offerings, friends, is all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament, and especially in the Old Testament when it came to the different sacrifices. Some of them were obligatory and some were you choose. And so there's a whole different category of offerings. And the very first one that's talked about is in the book of Genesis. It's Cain and Abel. And this one was called first fruits. And many people would say this is the principle of the tithe even before the tithe is mentioned. Maybe. Sandra and I practice first fruits. I happen to believe, friends, that the Old Testament is the Bible. I just happen to believe that the Old Testament is still the Bible. And so if there's principles in the Old Testament, those principles should be followed unless they're contradicted by the New Testament. For example, the Bible in the Old Testament says that we're not supposed to be eating pork and shrimp and lobster, but the New Testament clearly says, no, all foods are blessed. And so the New Testament overruled an Old Testament principle. The Old Testament said you're not supposed to have sex with an animal. The New Testament is silent on that topic. So what do? Are we allowed to have sex with animals, or do we follow the Old Testament rule? Christians around the world follow the Old Testament rule. Why? Because it hasn't been contradicted by the New Testament. So I'm just telling you, this is why I'm a giver and an extravagant giver, because I follow Old Testament law and, on top of that, the New Testament teaching. So first fruits is not a percentage assignment. This is what you feel the Holy Spirit asking you to do. And we teach this for our church. We don't make it obligatory, but we encourage people the first Sunday of the year that this is an opportunity for you to believe for income. This is an opportunity for you to believe for a raise, for bonuses, for your business to prosper. And just like Cain and Abel were asked by the Lord to give an offering before the harvest began. And so first fruits is the first pears that are starting to show up on your tree. It's the first lambs that are starting to be born. And you get to choose how generous are you going to be. And if you remember in that passage in Genesis 4, Cain disobeyed the Lord, and the penalty for him was he waited. He did not give his gift until after he saw what his harvest was. Abel gave right away, listened to the Holy Spirit, was led by the Holy Spirit. And so that's the first example of someone listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to being a giver, is all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. So my thing that I always teach our church family is the first Sunday of the year, we have an opportunity, if we believe that this is a godly principle, to give something extra into the kingdom and believe for more. We have a gentleman in our church. He's one of the wealthier gentlemen, and perhaps he's one of the wealthier gentlemen because of first fruits. And so the first Sunday of every year, the first week before the first Sunday of every year, this gentleman prays. He's a single man, 67, 68 years of age. All his income comes from investments. He doesn't have a job anymore. He just lives on his investments. And he'll say, Holy Spirit, how much money are you going to make for me this year? And it's always an extraordinary amount. And so he will then give, he will pre-give what he feels his tithe is going to be. So this year, he gave $400,000 in January to our church. And that's what he feels his income is going to be for the first 6 months. And then the first Sunday in July, he does it again. He gives another first fruit. And God bless this man, but friends, nobody's portfolio for stocks and things like that of getting the big stocks like Coke and McDonald's and things like that is making, you know, 25, 30% income. But somehow this gentleman's portfolio does. And this is how he lives. He just is an extraordinary giver, and he believes in the principle of the first fruit. Sacrifices, if you read the book of Leviticus, all sorts of animals are being killed every single day, it looks like. And most of those were obligatory. You have to do this. Some of them were voluntary. And some of the sacrifices were an animal. And if you were wealthy, you gave an ox. And sometimes if you weren't wealthy, you gave a pigeon or a dove. And sometimes it was grain. But these were sort of forced on you. You didn't have a choice. You had to do them. Some of them were voluntary, and you get it. You again got to choose, how generous am I going to be? Then both Old Testament and New Testament, we have many other opportunities where people were asked to be generous. When the temple was being built in the Old Testament, three different times, the leaders said, we're going to build a tabernacle. We're going to build a temple. Come and bring your gifts. And this was all voluntary. This was on top of their tithes. This was on top of their sacrifices that they were doing. The nation of Israel was generous. And if you remember in one of them, I think it's Solomon's temple that was being built, they had to go back to the people and say, stop, enough, we've got way too much, stop giving. And that is just an amazing thing of how generous those people were. But we also have in the New Testament missions. And we have Paul, who's writing in the book of Philippians. He's writing in the book of Corinthians, several long passages about giving. And friends, I love this passage. I'm going to tell you that what I'm about to say, Steve Long believes, but not necessarily everyone else believes. And when you get to heaven, we'll find out if I'm right or others are right, because I can't prove what I'm going to say. This is just my stuff. But you remember when Paul says of the Philippians who were who gave themselves first to the Lord and then to me. If you remember that little passage, they gave themselves, talking about the church, they gave themselves first to the Lord and to me. Well, that whole passage is talking about money. It's not talking about devotion. It's not talking about how many hours they serve Paul. It's talking about money. And so when it says the church gave themselves first to the Lord, what is that talking about? And then to me. And then he goes on to say, thank you for supporting me in missions. Thank you for supporting me as the founding pastor. And now I'm an itinerant and you're giving offerings to help support me in my travels. Here's what I believe. I believe that that Philippian church as a congregation were tithing to the Lord. And so that principle, friends, just to let you know, has guided my time and John Arnott's time as the pastors of Catch the Fire Church in Toronto. When this church began, we were part of a vineyard denomination that asked for 2.5% of your income, or I think it was 3% of your Sunday income. The tithes and offerings of the people went to the vineyard. Most networks, most denominations require that. For those of you that come from a Church of England background in the UK, I think the Church of England takes something like 25% of all of the money that comes into a local parish. It's sort of the membership fee, if I could say it like that. But here, this church in Philippi, it would appear to me that they're tithing the income that they have. And then on top of that, they're doing missions and they're supporting Paul. Agabus, one day, when he's in Antioch as an itinerant prophet, has a prophetic word that there's going to be a famine. And you remember that the church took an offering right away and sent the money with Paul and Barnabas as they take it to Jerusalem to look after. So all the way through the scripture are extra things. Some of you have been a part of church buildings where you bought property. And so everyone's asked, would you give a special gift towards helping that? And this comes under the category of offerings. Taxes. God bless taxes. And the problem person here is King Saul. When he became the king, he's got no finances because the tithes are going to other parts of government. They're going to the priests. And so he instituted taxes. We don't know what percentage it was, but it's very clear that people were starting to be taxed. And if you remember, whoever killed Goliath got a tax exemption. You will never have to pay taxes if you kill Goliath for me. So taxes have followed us, and taxes in Canada didn't start, federal taxes in Canada didn't start until the First World War. And it was supposed to be a temporary tax federally to be able to fund the war efforts. And it just happens that they decided, no, that's a pretty good thing. Let's keep doing that. So in Canada, the basic tax is 29%. Once you have an income of, I think it's $100,000, you go to 39%. Once you have an income of $1 million, it goes to 49%. And so most nations have those kind of sliding tax rates that a huge portion of your money goes towards the government and all the different things that they do in your nation. And the book of Romans, chapter 8, tells us, pay our taxes. So we're in tax season right now, again, where people have until the end of April to review their annual taxes for the previous year. And some people get refunds and some people have to pay in extra. Everyone has to fill in the forms every single year in Canada. And so accountants are really busy right now, helping everyone to do that, helping companies to do that. And it's just, it's the way that governments are funded is through taxes. And this was in the scripture. And Christians were not exempt from paying taxes. Jesus paid taxes. Now, Jesus did it supernaturally. Remember, he sent Peter to go catch a fish, and the first fish you catch is going to have a gold coin. So we prayed that, friends, over our church family. I pray these kind of things for our church family. I did this probably 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. So if you want to look up some of our sermons, because everything's on YouTube, and you can see Steve Long saying, how many of you are expecting that you're going to have to pay extra tax this year? Could you please stand up? And probably about a third of the church stood. And I said, okay, we're going to believe, just like Jesus had God income to pay his taxes, we're going to believe that God blesses you to pay your taxes. And within 2 weeks, I started getting stories of people that that kind of thing was happening, that somehow extra money's coming their way to be able to pay their taxes. Friends, I said this before, I believe the Bible. I believe all of it. And if there's a story of Jesus funding himself through the miraculous, well, why can't I have that? Why can't I believe for that? And so I do believe for those kind of things. A little backstory, friends. Sandra and I have been the senior leaders at Catch the Fire Toronto for, we're in our 16th year. John and Carol stepped away from being the senior leaders when John turned 65. And by the way, I turned 65, as I said, in May. And in January of next year, Sandra and I are stepping aside. And another couple, Murray and Ash Smith, who currently are the leaders of Catch the Fire Raleigh, are becoming the next senior leaders of our church in Toronto. They're moving here in June. And they've been coming up here once a month. But this idea, friends, of being generous, Sandra and I have been doing this. And just before we took the role of senior leaders at Catch the Fire Toronto, we know we're going to be the senior leaders. John's announced we're going to be the senior leaders. And now for the first time, I'm really having to pray about vision. I didn't have to pray about the direction of the church before because I was one of John's assistants. I wasn't the leader. And the leader is responsible for the vision. And I didn't need to do that. And if you know the word provision is this word pro, it's for the vision. So money is for the vision. And I remember John Arnott kept saying, Steve, we have a bigger vision than most churches do for the city of Toronto. We're not just believing that our church exists and is able to give a salary to some staff. We're not just believing for that. We want to be starting churches. And by the way, our church in Toronto has directly started 25 churches over the last 29 years, paid all the expenses of those churches up until they were self-sufficient. So our church has a big vision. And John's saying, we cannot just rely on the tithes and the offerings of our people. we have to have more money coming to us than normal. And so this was what I was trained is, God, where's that money going to come from? And I just remember this was one of the first lessons of believing for miraculous gifts, believing that people would be getting raises and bonuses, believing that people would get extra year-end bonuses. I can remember, this is a number of years ago, I asked everyone in our church, this was early December, how many of you are eligible for a year-end performance bonus in your company? Please stand. And I said, here's the deal. I want you to listen carefully. If you promise to give a tithe of that to the Lord, I'm going to pray that you get double what you'd normally get. So you're going to walk away with more than normal. How many of you are up for that? Everyone puts their hand up. This is a no lose. Okay, so this is what we're believing for. And when we do these kind of prayers, we get everyone to get out of their seat, walk over to the person who's got their hand up, lay their hands on them. Like we believe this stuff. If it's inspired by the Lord, it's real. And that's what an offering is, friends, is inspired by the Lord, a God thought. And when we get a God thought, a miracle's behind those God thoughts. Anyways, long story, prayed for people to get extravagant bonuses. I've done this a few years now. And one of the guys that wasn't expecting a huge one happened to get a $3 million bonus. Did you hear what I said? $3 million bonus. He just had an extraordinary sales year that year. And he's in finances where he's at. One of the guys that's in my small group, I'm going to be having lunch with him later today. If you want to look back in the summer, I featured him on a Sunday morning, and he's a vice president of one of the banks. We actually have three vice presidents of banks in our church, and they are extraordinary givers, these gentlemen. And I have them up to teach our church family and being generous. And they would all credit generosity, giving their tithe, as one of the reasons why they've risen in the ranks in their businesses and their corporations. Anyways, this guy was the acting vice president for his bank in international banking. And in the 1 year that he did that, filling in for his boss who was on maternity leave, a lady, he had 50%, his one little department, international banking, had 50% of that bank's profits. And he just was incredibly blessed by the Lord financially that year by his company because of here's a Christian having God thoughts on how we're going to move investments, how we're going to do this, how we're going to do this, new contract opportunities. And God used that man to bless his entire corporation. It's one of the biggest banks in Canada. And he was doing it all being directed by the Spirit of God. And it just happened that the Lord rewarded him financially for doing that. All righty, let's move on, people. I want to talk about, can I just say, if you're listening to me and getting a little upset, don't be a giver. Just keep your money. Don't bother giving. Just be happy where you're at and just ignore me. But again, I happen to believe the Bible. I happen to believe the Old Testament and the New Testament. And this is how I live. Generous all the time, do pay forwards all the time, buy people coffee all the time, buy meals all the time. There's a rule at our church. It's called rule number one. And that is that if you're having a lunch with Steve, Steve pays. Everyone knows, I shouldn't say everyone knows, maybe not all the newcomers know, but all the old timers at our church know what rule number one is. They never pay. Steve Long always pays. And most of the people that I'm taking for lunch have a higher income than I do. By the way, can I say, not to brag, but it's a fact that up until 5 years ago, I took 5 years with no salary at our church. I was functioning as the senior leader and I took no salary from Catch the Fire Toronto. Why did I do that? Two reasons. Number one, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me to say, Steve, do you really believe the financial things that you're teaching about? And I said, yes, this is in my journaling. Yes. Well, then don't take a salary for 5 years. Okay. And I did it, friends. I got audited by the Canadian tax revenue guys every single year, trying to figure out how am I giving $20,000, $30,000 in receipts that I've got for being a giver, and I've got zero income. How do you give when you don't have any money? And so I'd have to, they'd ask for my tax receipts every year. I photocopy them, off they go. And they're just trying to figure it out. And it, you can't figure it out because it's God that was doing that. Anyways, the first reason I did it was because the Lord asked me to believe the Bible. That, friends, that's why I'm so strong on my principles here of what I believe, is because I had 5 years of no income. Number two was I wanted to be able to, with no encumbrances, challenge our church to live by the principles of the Bible. I wanted to do that with a clean heart and pure hands before the Lord, that nobody in our church is saying, well, Steve, you're doing this so that you can get a raise at the end of the year. Steve, you're doing this so that you're going to look good. And that, and it was like, no, that's not my motive. I teach on finances at our church every single Sunday, people. 2 to 3 minutes every single Sunday. And can I tell you, we are a financially blessed church. Through the pandemic, we had a year and a half of not meeting. We started meeting again in September last year. And our finances were such that we finished in a surplus both years of the pandemic. More money came in than we needed. And that's just how we are as a church. We're already over a month ahead. So here we are at the beginning of April. We already have a month of extra income in the bank for this year. Already. And just God's people continue to be generous. In 2 weeks, we're going to take an offering to send kids to go to kids camp. We're going to raise $35,000 in a day and in an hour. And just to be able to send low-income kids from our church and from our community to kids camps and youth camps. We have an incredible church that's blessed and live these principles. Not everyone does. Not everyone believes it. Anyways, so some people say that tithing is just an Old Testament law thing, and that is absolutely correct. It was forced upon people. If I could say it was a forced blessing, but tithing was also before the law and after the law. And I happen to believe that it's in the New Testament. And just in a minute, I'll come and share some of those passages, excuse me, with you. Some people would say that tithing is has been changed, that instead of a forced 10%, it's now we are led by the Spirit of what to give. And I would say, yes, but that's always been the case in the Old Testament about where offerings were. Offerings were always being led by the Spirit, all the way back to Cain and Abel, where what do you feel in your heart to give? So I feel that that is absolutely true, a principle for the New Testament, but that's talking about offerings. That's not talking about the tithe, which is the Lord's. The tithe to me is, do I trust God? Period. That's what it is. Do I trust God? That, because friends, the word in the Old Testament for a tithe is that we're returning it. It's not ours to keep. It's the Lord's, and we return it to him. And if we're not returning it to him, that's why Malachi tells people that they were stealing, that they're thieves. They've taken what's the Lord's and held for themselves. Well, I don't ever want to be someone that the Lord looks and says, you've taken what's mine. I want to always return to the Lord. And so Sandra and I have a tithe, as I told you already, from our income goes to Catch the Fire Toronto. It goes straight off my paycheck. It doesn't even come to my bank account. It goes straight from my paycheck, straight into the church's account. And every time I get money, within minutes sometimes, I'm on, we have a phone app called PushPay, and I'm giving my tithe. Tell you a story about 3 years ago, I got a phone call. Sandra and I were on vacation. And just hold on, people. Let me just check the time here. Where's my phone?
Just
speaker has left the building.
The speaker left the building. Okay, I'm just watching my time here. I got 15 more minutes before I need to be out the door. And by the way, I've asked Graham when I leave to, if there's going to be a discussion, for him to lead the discussion and or extra prayer ministry, but I want to pray for you. Anyways, about 4 years ago, Sandra and I are driving back from vacation back to Toronto, get a phone call from our executive director, and he said, Steve, you need to pull over on the side of the road. So I pull over on the side of the road, and he says, Steve, someone has just gone to our bank and has just paid off the mortgage, $1.4 million that we had owing on our building, and they just paid it off. And I'm going, oh my goodness. And he said, I went with them to the bank, and they said, Steve Long preached a sermon a while back about sowing and reaping and giving a seed offering. Not going to talk about that, friends. That's another whole topic, where the Lord, Old Testament and New Testament, remember Jesus said, you have the possibility for an extra offering to have a refund from the Lord of 30, 60, or 100%. 100% means you give 1% to get 100% back. And so I was teaching on that and telling people that if the Lord gives you an idea that you do not have the finances for, this isn't you making this up. This is God inspiring you, business opportunity, a missions trip, whatever it is, and you don't have the money, the biblical principle is you give 1%. Jacob, in a year of famine, sowed and had a 100% increase. That means for every one seed he put in the ground, he got 100 back. That's 100%. That's a 1% seed. Anyways, this guy said, I believed what Pastor Steve said, and I made a vow to the Lord that if I got my harvest, that I would pay off the church's mortgage. And so that's what he was doing. Then Ben says to me, and by the way, Steve, to say thank you to you, he's made a deposit in your bank account of $100,000 to say thank you for you teaching him to be extravagant. And Sandra and I are like, oh my goodness. And we're celebrating on the side of the road. We saw a coffee shop up ahead. We decided we'd pull in, get a coffee, calm down. And in the coffee shop queue, this is a drive-through coffee shop, I've got my phone app out, and we've given a tithe already, is gone. $10,000 went. And then before we left the coffee shop, we did the next thing. Because if you remember the principle in the scripture is that when you get seed, when you get money, some of it is to eat and some of it is to sow. And you remember that's talked about in the scriptures. You get seed to eat and seed to sow. So when money comes your way, the Lord says, basically ask me, is this money to keep and go shopping? Is this money to keep and pay off a bill? Is this money to keep and go on a vacation? Extra money that comes your way? Or should some of this be in turn given away? And so Sandra and I felt the Lord say, let's give away another tithe. And so we have two sons. We phoned our two sons and we said, guys, if you look at your emails, we've just sent an e-transfer and you've each got $5,000 to spend however you'd like to do that. Then my wife went furniture shopping. Anyways, so let me just keep going here, friends. I'm taking too long on this. So here's my little summary, people. Tithe is not about the money. It's about your heart. Do you believe that the Lord is able to care for you? Do you believe that you're worth more than a sparrow? If the Lord cares for sparrows, will he care for you? That's my sermon to our church family this morning, Matthew chapter 6. Don't worry about life. You can't add life by worrying. You can just detract. Your stress level causes 40-something different sicknesses and diseases. I happen to live life with a smile on my face. All sorts of people would say, Steve, you can't be that generous. And I'm going, well, so far I have been able to be. I'm almost 65 years of age. I've been living like this for about 30 years. And I've been on more vacations and traveled to more countries in the world than you have by being stingy, by not being a giver. I think my way of living is better than your way of living. And then I walk away before they start throwing stones and sticks and all that kind of stuff. So here's my three suggestions, people. Pay taxes with joy. Don't ever avoid paying taxes, because the Bible says, New Testament says, that we pay taxes because the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Occasionally, we'll have service people come to fix our furnace, to fix the dishwasher, and they'll say it's $200. And we go, great, can we have a receipt? Oh, no, 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 this is cash, just cash. And we go, no, no, thank you. We're gonna hire a company that we get a receipt from because we want to pay the taxes. And they look at me like, are you crazy? If you're paying taxes, it's going to be $250. And I go, perfect, I'll pay $250. And they're going, why would you want to do that? No one's going to know. And I go, two things. Number one, God knows. I happen to be a follower of Jesus. God knows that I've just not treated the government as his servants right here. What I am sowing into is saying, when I need the police, please don't come. What I'm sowing into is, when I need an ambulance, please don't come. What I'm sowing into is, I don't need the power on in my community. That's what I'm sowing into when I cheat on taxes. I tell people, like, they're looking at me, oh my goodness, I'm getting a sermon here. And I tell people, I've been to third world nations where nobody pays taxes, like Mozambique. I prefer to pay taxes and have the police, have the fire department, have the lights on, have garbage pickup. I prefer all those things. I'm happy to pay my taxes. Number two, friends, I would suggest that you return your tithe to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 7 talking about the tithe, and it talks about Melchizedek, this amazing personality who the Bible says was Jesus. And so it says this about the tithe. In the Old Testament, the tithe is collected by people, by priests in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we'd say pastors. And these people die. Pastors die. But really, the tithe is going to someone who is declared to be living, and that's Jesus. So when I give my tithe to Catch the Fire Toronto, yes, it's going to an organization. Yes, it's going to help pay my salary and help pay other people's salaries. But Hebrews says, no, I'm actually giving to the kingdom, and I'm giving to Jesus. In Matthew, I think it is, Jesus has a conversation with the Pharisees, and he commends them for tithing. He says, well done for tithing, but you've missed the other part of it. You've missed the righteousness part. You've missed the supernatural part. Do that too. I've already referred to that passage in Philippians where I believe that a church tithes their income. And so our church does that. By the way, I've skipped one of the slides. If you feel that tithing is just Old Testament, you need to read Malachi chapter 3 again and do a little study of who that prophetic word is given to. That prophetic word about robbing God is not for the people of Malachi's day. Malachi says it is for the people who live in the kingdom. Now, he doesn't use those words, but it's people who live after John the Baptist has arrived, the messenger has arrived. John the Baptist is the messenger, and it's before the Lord's return. That's us. That's us right now. So Malachi, when he's talking about people robbing God, he's not talking about his time. It's a prophetic word into the ages, and that's the age that we're in right now. That's my opinion. Last point, people, and then we're going to pray, is I want to encourage you to be extraordinarily generous whenever the Lord puts on your heart to be a giver. And whether it's a missions offering, someone is going on a short-term missions trip and they need extra money, and you feel the Holy Spirit say to give them 500 pounds, give them 1,000 francs. Friends, behind every God thought is the potential for you to be blessed. If you believe what the Bible says, that everything belongs to the Lord, and you believe in the principle of sowing and reaping, I want to encourage you to be absolutely generous. And what's the worst that happens? What if it wasn't God and was just you? Well, someone's still been blessed because of you. Now it kicks in all the passages in Corinthians where it says that when you bless other people, they become your intercessors. One of my favorite stories in the scriptures, And I can't remember the lady's name. Was it Lydia who was the lady, or Dorcas? I think it's like Acts chapter 9. She is in Joppa, in the church in Joppa, and she dies. And she used to make all the widows' dresses, clothes. Do you remember that story? Anyways, here's this lady who is, she's a seamstress, she's a tailor, something like that. Every year she's caring for the widows, making them new clothes, and she dies. And the ladies that she is helping come to the pastors, the leaders of her church in Joppa, and say, excuse me, who's going to make my dress next year? We don't know. Well, if you don't know, you need to have this lady be raised from the dead, because we know she will do it. Go find an apostle to raise her from the dead. And so that's what the church does. They, where's the closest apostle? And they find out that Peter's like 15 kilometers away. They send someone 15 kilometers to get Peter, which means that time is going. Days are going by. And Peter comes, hears the story, sees these ladies holding the clothes that this lady is generously giving to them year after year after year. And based on the need that these ladies have, lays hands on this lady and she comes back to life. I love it. And here's a lady where her generosity came back, that she had extended life because of her generosity. Friends, there are so many tiny little nuggets in the scriptures about being generous. And I want to bless you to do that. So I'm done. Graham and Franklin, thank you so much. I'm going to pray for you all. And again, we're going to pass it back to your leaders. And for, if you want to have discussions, more prayer ministry, however you want to do that, you're welcome to do that. But let me just stop the share real quick here. And there we go. And Graham, I'm going to make you the, Graham, you're still the host.
Yeah, it seemed to work. Yeah.
I thought. Perfect. All right. Good. All right. People, when I pray, I like people to stand. So if you're able to stand, how about you stand with me? For some reason, I like to get out of comfortable sitting on a chair, sitting on a couch, lying in my bed. And so Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for these wonderful people that I get to talk to today. And Father, whether they agree with me or not, we all know that Father God is extraordinarily generous, and that he gave. His heart was to be a giver. Father, as we read the teaching of Jesus, the number one topic that Jesus had is about stewardship, being a responsible steward of all the assets, all the money. He had more stories about money than any other topic. And so, Father, money counts to you. Money is important to you. It would appear that this is one of the ways that you measure our faithfulness to you. This is one of the ways that you measure our stewardship. This is one of the ways that you measure, are we faithful in little to be able to be given more? And not just more money, but more responsibility, more kingdom authority, more anointing. And so, Father, if all these principles are true, I want to bless these men and women that their lifestyle would be marked by being extremely generous. Generous to the congregation that they're part of, generous to the community that they're part of. When they find out that someone's lost their job, they just step in and they help, whether it's a small thing like a meal, or it's like, I'm going to pay your mortgage for this month. Father, may a spirit of generosity come on these people. And friends, in Corinthians, it talks about the different gifts of the Spirit, and one of them is the gift of giving. And so, Daddy, would you give every person the ability to give when inspired by you? When you speak to someone and say, hey, be a giver, Father, may each person know in their heart, God's just talked to me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to listen to my Father in heaven, do what he said, and I'm going to expect that there's a miracle that God has for me. There's seed that's going to come my way so that I can continue to be a sower. And I'm not getting rich just for me to be rich. I'm getting more for me so that I have the capacity to give more away. And so, Daddy, would you bless each person that's listening today? Bless those that are listening live. Bless those that are going to listen to the recording. Father, would you watch over us? Would you keep us in good health? Keep all of our relationships there. Father, we one more thing, friends. John chapter 10, Jesus said, Satan comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. And so, Father, I'm praying that the devourer from Malachi chapter 3 would not have access to the finances of any of these people that are listening today. That God, you would come and you would stop Satan from being able to steal any resources from us at all. All the finances that are supposed to come our way for kingdom purposes, Father, may they come our way. May we never be short. May we never not have enough to pay our mortgage. Never not have enough to be able to be generous on all occasions, as the scriptures talk about. So, Father, may we be blessed people. Watch over us, please. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Wow. Okay, people, I'm done. It's time for me to go to my congregation and be with them. And people, can I get you to do something? I'm going to write my email address in the chat.
Yep.
And if you have some sort of financial breakthrough in the next week, can you just send me a personal email and say, Steve, I did what you said. I heard the Holy Spirit say to be generous, and I did, and here's what happened. So that's my email, steve.long@catchfire.com. Write to me. Tell me your stories, people. Yep.
We'll do that.
All right. Thank you, Grant. I got to run.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Give Sandra a hug for us.
I will.
With the passing of yours.
Wow.
Wow. Hallelujah. Well, thank you. Well, to Steve, he's gone now, but thank you, Steve. That was so awesome. And yeah, fantastic. Very challenging. Graham Dale, would you like to chip in and share something?
Well, I could just confirm everything that Steve said. I'm a little story from when we were first married. Our first month of our married life, we had £3.65 to last us the month. And we just put it in the collection. And, you know, every day of that month, somebody from the church, it was a church we'd only just joined, somebody from the church turned up with a meal or some blessing, and we made it through the month without a penny in the bank. So yeah, just it all belongs to him, doesn't it? And you know, when we're in a corner, the best thing to do is give.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, well.
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. You know, it's God's been so generous with us, and it's to be generous in return. You know, it's absolutely. Mm. You know, the Lord has asked us to give cars away to pay for Bible college education for people and ministry schools and tithe into ministries all around the world. And it's been amazing, and the Lord has blessed us. Absolutely.
I had a massive breakthrough in finances as soon as I did what the Lord asked me to do, is to give some money to some people. And it was a lot of money. And the following day, I had two massive breakthroughs. That was just last year.
The following day.
The wow. following day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So that taught me a lesson.
It is, yeah. Would anyone else like to chip in if they've got a testimony or a thought that they'd like to share?
Don't forget to unmute.
Can I also just say that if somebody gives you some money because they feel the Lord is telling them to, please accept it, because it's a blessing to them as well.
Yeah, good point. That's a good point.
Okay, well, we want to wish Aola a happy birthday today. We have a little note here. It's her birthday, so Akin's wife. And
if he's not listening, is
he? Yeah, that's in there. So she's on. We wish her a happy birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Excellent. Okay, well, we are 2:05 our time here, so we want to wrap things up. I just want to say thank you so much to our Oasis family and friends who've joined us today. And I know that many of you guys here don't know them, but I know them really well. And we have just appreciated their friendship and support. And some of these people have actually been on the leadership team of our ministry here, Forerunner. So, and we've appreciated their input so much. And for those of you who don't know, Amy and I run an Airbnb over in Whitney. And so our family's had a long history with Whitney. And we love Whitney so much. And when we ended up meeting Graham and Tamsin at a what was a Partners in Harvest event years ago and discovered, oh my goodness, there's a Catch the Fire church in Whitney, we were just delighted, and we've been firm friends ever since. And Akinola helps with the, well, he runs the Whitney House of Prayer there as well. And we've been able to speak at both of these places numerous times, and they're fast and dear friends of ours. And our friend Adrian there and other friends from Oasis has been just super. If we have anyone online who found this event on Eventbrite and joined us, that's great. We really appreciate you joining us as well. That's just fantastic. Okay, well, Graham, do you want to close us in prayer? Up to that, I know you're recovering from COVID, but...
I was just wondering whether Akin or Enola wanted to say something. Looks like you wanted to say something.
I did. Thank you very much, everyone, for the birthday wishes. I usually don't come on recordings. I like to be anonymous, but we turned it on just to honour all those people who are wishing me a very happy birthday. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're having a good day.
Awesome. Great. Graham, do you want to close us in prayer?
Yeah. Thanks for hosting us today, Franklin, and all your efforts, Graham. And thank Grace for the worship.
Yeah, thank you all very much.
Yeah.
Really good. And our thanks to Steve, really was really blessed by his message.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for the blessing of this time together.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for your presence with us and for the words that you've spoken to our hearts. Lord, we just ask right now that your presence would remain tangible with us as we separate now for the rest of the day, that we would know your presence.
Amen.
With us. Lord, we treasure your presence with us. Amen. And help us to just take the words that you've spoken to us and let them take root in our hearts, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 And the people said, amen.
Amen. Bless you, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bless you.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. See you again soon.
Can we pray for you, Graham? Because you've still got COVID.
Yeah, anytime.
Just say a prayer for you now.
Graham says that. How did you? If you want to communicate to me, put it in the chat. Thanks, Graham.
Should we go for it then? We'll pray for you, Graham.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
First one is usually not. The second one is a lot.
We just lift Graham Dale to you, and we're just asking, Lord, for breakthrough. We just pray for your protection.
Yes.
And hand upon him. We don't want this going on any longer. So, Lord, we're asking for you to come and touch them right now with your healing hand.
Yeah, good.
Take away this headache and cough. We know that Graham is
paying
it back onto Graham. Back onto him. We pray that he will see what
we went very good.
In the name of Jesus.
Okay.
Does anyone else want to pray? Go for it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the healing, Lord. Graham, Lord. We praise your name, Lord, that you're removing all the symptoms of COVID, Lord, and that he's well and whole in the name of Jesus. We praise you for this, Lord. Thank you, Abba. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for your healing, for your power right now to come into Graham's body right now. Rebuke any COVID, any infection right now.